You're listening to episode 50 of the Curiosity Club podcast. Welcome to the Curiosity Club podcast, a safe place to get your weekly dose of life lessons, helping you let go of fear, overwhelm, and insecurities. I'm your host, Katri Barrett, and with each episode, I share my insights and practical skills for you to unlock your full potential. Live and work confidently. Be courageous, be curious, because life's too short to keep holding yourself back. Hello, Curiosity Clubbers. I am very excited about the guest I have lined up for you today, and that is the incredible artist Lydia Reeves. Lydia is the creator behind the Vulva Diversity Project, a project that is aiming to celebrate the complete variety of vulvas that there are and show how beautifully unique each and every one is, along with the women that they belong to. I've been following and admiring Lydia's creations from afar for a long time, and it felt really natural to reach out to her and ask her to talk about her story and the message behind her creative projects. It is so much more than just a piece of artwork, in my opinion. Lydia's work is educating and empowering women in a way that is actually profoundly transformative for so many women's confidence. As we discuss in this episode, Lydia has unintentionally, yet no less powerfully, created a therapeutic and healing process for hundreds of women through her casting sessions. I suppose in a way, thousands, if you count her social media following, because you can get so much from just seeing her project online and hearing everyone's different short stories that are shared along with the images of the cast that she creates. I think every woman can relate to feeling afraid that their bodies weren't normal at some point in their lives, feeling shame around their bodies, feeling vulnerable, and not feeling confident in their own skin. And the Vulva Project teaches us the things that we should have learned at school, to understand our bodies, to love our bodies, and to not compare ourselves to others, because there is no normal, and each of us are beautifully unique. I speak to Lydia about all these things in detail, why we should never use porn as a reference point, her personal journey of accepting her own body and vulva after booking in for cosmetic surgery as a teenager. And as you will hear, it turns out I knew less about the female form than I originally thought. And we also talk about bum holes and pubes, which is a first for the Curiosity Club. But I do hope it won't be the last time. I feel really passionately about sharing the message of this episode with all women, especially young women. So do pass this episode on and encourage your female friends, colleagues, daughters and nieces to listen. Tag me in any Instagram story so I can follow along with you as well as when you're listening. And as always, be sure to subscribe if you aren't already and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, as it really helps others find us and grow our community. Enjoy this episode. Well, first things first, I am very, very excited to have you on a guest because I've been admiring your work from afar for quite some time now. And learning more about it, I really wanted to talk to you more and have you come onto the podcast and talk about your work. So let's start there. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you do and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, of course. So I'm doing a project, a vulva diversity project, casting as many girls as possible, really, casting their vulvas. And I started about 6 months ago, just with close friends, and casting. I didn't really have a plan for my project. I just started with them, and the more of my friends that I cast, we had quite a vulnerable thing of, like, I would cast their vulva and then I'd already cast mine, so we would then exchange, like, looking at each other's casts. And it was the first time anyone had seen my cast, when particularly one of my friends came. And it was just so nice. We looked at each other's and we were like, wow, like, yours looks like this, mine looks like that. And it was quite a really eye-opening thing for me. And then we had really in-depth conversations with my good friends about, like, our vulvas and our insecurities and everything. And then I thought, if they're feeling like that, then more other people will be feeling like that. And then, yeah, I just put something out on Instagram to get volunteers. And I got a bit overwhelmed with the amount of people that wanted to come and get their vulvas cast. And it's just grown from there. And that was, yeah, I probably put it out on Instagram about 5 months ago. And I've cast 120 girls in that time and listened to all their different stories and insecurities and anxieties and how they felt growing up and all of that. And yeah, it's just kind of snowballed, really, which is good.
Always good. So it sounds like it wasn't an intentional project, it just sort of naturally happened.
I mean, I had an idea, as in, like, obviously I had an idea to cast my friends and to cast my own. I just didn't think, I didn't really have that intention to grow it into, like, a big project, exhibition, book and everything. I just thought, oh, I'll just kind of see what happens. And yeah, now here we are.
120 vaginas later.
Yeah, having now quit my day job as well to do this full time, which I never thought 6 months ago that I would be doing that. So yeah, it's got big, which is great.
It's really great. And I think I've been following you for that whole amount of time and I've seen it grow.
Yeah.
And I was drawn to it because I think there is something so powerful. Well, I know there is something so powerful about, as you just described this, as a woman, seeing a collection of vagina, vulvas, and we're going to come to this, I just made the slip up for calling it a vagina, sort of next to each other, because we have all these fears, and we're going to come to that and get into it, but actually, I'm coming back and picking myself up on that slip of the tongue, because, full disclosure, before we sat down to have this conversation with each other, when I was knew Lydia was coming to as a guest, I was like, doing a little bit of research, and I was like, do I actually know the vagina and all the different parts, having thought, yeah, I do, I know what's what and where's what. So, but I thought I'd check, so I went on to Google. Turns out, no, I didn't, because I presumed, up until about an hour ago, that the vulva was a part of the vagina, whereas it isn't. The vulva is, am I right, Lydia, the whole outside thing. Yeah.
Yeah, simply put, yeah, the vulva is the outside, all external stuff. The vagina is all the internal stuff, simply put.
Yeah. So it varies in a nutshell. And I think, and if I genuinely believed I was one of the people that knew everything down there, vagina, vulva, I thought I knew all those parts. So I actually, yeah, was very surprised. I've learned that, and even from admiring your project and taking a lot as well personally from your project, sharing it with all of my girlfriends as well, being like, you've got to check this out, isn't this amazing? I know how powerful it is, and I really want, like, looking forward to kind of talking to you more about it, and especially hearing about how it is helping women and the conversations you're having. But to start with, what kind of led you to creating it? What's your story behind it?
Yeah, so definitely this is like a personal project for me. I just grew up with severe anxiety and insecurity surrounding my vulva, particularly my labia. And I think it must have come from seeing porn at a very young age. I think I stumbled across porn when I was 12, and seeing all the types, I think it might have got a bit more diverse now than it was, 16 years ago? And back then anyway, all I saw on porn was just like, they didn't have it, like, where was their vulva? I don't know, there was just like a little, there was nothing there. And then I remember looking at mine, obviously, like, just kind of going through puberty and being like, oh my God, mine doesn't look like that. But being way too embarrassed to say that to anyone, or to talk, or to even say to any of my friends, like, oh, what do yours look like or anything. I just shut it all away and was like, I am the only person in the whole world that has a vulva that doesn't look like the ones that are on porn. And it just grew and grew in my head of being like, this is, I can't let anyone see it, or it's just so embarrassing. I just got really down about it, and there was like comments in school. So this is what, just starting secondary school. And because everyone is so uneducated at that age, like boys in secondary school, you would hear like, oh, she had like white beef curtains, or, and you just, when you're that age, I was just then there like, oh, what if that's me? Like, what if someone said that about me? And that, still being too shy to ever be like, well, like, what does that mean? Or like, is that okay? Does other, I don't know. It was just, not a good time. And I was probably 15 when I started looking up labiaplasty, when I had my own laptop. And I remember writing, well, probably actually when I was about 17, I wrote a list of all the places I was going to contact as soon as I turned 18, like to get a consultation of having surgery. And pretty much as soon as I turned 18, I was so excited to turn 18, so I could phone up all these places and book consultations and have surgery, which I did when I was 18. Not have the surgery, but I did phone all these places up. And I booked a consultation a few months after turning 18. And, well, I booked a couple of consultations and then proceeded to book the actual surgery. Went home, had it written in the diary, so excited. Went home, booked a meeting with my mum and dad, and said what I wanted to do, and please can I borrow £3,000? And they were obviously devastated and really upset, and clearly said no. And at the time I was furious with them. I was like, this day had been coming for so long, and I, in my head, I was like, it's gonna change my whole life. I think I didn't talk to them for a long time. And my mum, bless her, said, like, I think they came up with something like, oh, we'll contribute like £200 or something like that. My mum said, whilst you're saving up the money yourself, promise me you'll learn to try and love your vulva how it is. And I did take that on, and I kind of was like, well, that's impossible. But in the back of my mind, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna try. So I was studying fine art, so I did some projects at uni about it and about vulva diversity and everything, and looked at it a lot more in the mirror and did positive affirmations and things like that. And text my mum one day being like, you're never gonna guess what? I've just looked at my vulva in the mirror and it didn't repulse me. She was like, oh my God, that's so good. Just little forward steps like that. By the time I'd saved the money, I was at that stage of it not repulsing me, which for me was huge. And I realized how long and how hard I'd worked to save all that money up. And I couldn't bring myself to do the surgery. So I spent the money on going traveling instead, which was amazing. Much nicer memories in my life. And since then, I've just been working mentally myself on accepting who I am, how I am, every little bit of me, including my vulva. And now I'm just so determined to help other people who might have been in my position when I was young. I just know how much it kind of ruined my teenage years, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone. So yeah, I'm wanting to do this to help other girls or anyone who's experiencing or has experienced this kind of like insecurity, anxiety thing, to feel like they're actually normal and that's fine. Everyone's so different. So yeah, that's how it came about.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because I think it's so relatable. different people will relate to it at different levels, but most women, I think, are going to relate in some way to having insecurities that stem from being a teenager, exactly as you said. And we were talking just before we started recording about that shift when you go from primary school to secondary school, suddenly to that big wide world of, and people are suddenly talking about sex or being talking about things in a sexual way, and that horrible term that you said there, beef curtains. Oh my gosh, I remember
such a horrible
that.
Picture in your head.
Horrible, I'm not blaming them, because they're why did young boys have that language? Where had they learned that from? And whether or not that's still the case now, because like you said, both when you and I were sort of that age, it's quite a while ago now, but that came from somewhere, and that was so damaging as a young woman who, you know, you're 11 when you go to secondary school here in the UK, you barely started puberty, and then when you're in puberty and everything's changing, which is scary in itself, especially if it's not being talked about, but then to have that language thrown around, and I completely relate to that fear of, you know, am I normal? What's going on? I know for me, like, there wasn't any, as someone who was very insecure and had lots of anxieties about my appearance, that it didn't have direct kind of vulva anxieties, but for me, and I've seen someone talk about this in your work, I was obsessed with pubic hair and being like, I've got, no one else has it like this. And that was a massive anxiety when I became, you know, a teenager, being obsessed with that, because everyone we saw who we were comparing to didn't have any.
And a few years ago, you didn't have any.
Exactly.
It's like everything's such a new thing when you're in secondary school. Sex is new, pubic hair is new, longer labia is new, like everything. Boys are new. Like, yeah, you're experiencing it all for the first time, and it's all new, but no one talks about it. That's the thing. And you're all going through this like shift, huge change, huge new things that are all happening to everyone. And yet it's not spoken about in the proper way. The only way it is spoken about is like just shit comments like beef curtains and like just horrible terms that people come out with, and it's all just, it's not educational, it's just degrading and makes you question everything. Absolutely. And yeah, with and pubic hair, that's amount of comments in school about that as well. And I think I actually started shaving when I was 12 as well, and that was definitely down to porn, because I was like, oh god, it's so unsexy to have pubes, which is, I look back now and I'm like, it's womanly to have pubes, it's like, that's, it's a sexy thing to be a woman, and women have pubes, but it's another thing that just doesn't get talked about.
No, it never does. Enough. I just think of, at that age, seeing a project like yours, It would have genuinely been life-changing. Would you agree?
Oh, I always say that, and it sounds like I'm blowing my own trumpet, but I'm like, it would have changed my entire life if I had seen all of these different vulva casts all together, or even just 10, like, of them all together. Yeah, 100%. I would have come away from that being like, oh, thank God, I am normal, and that's okay. Yeah, completely. Although, it wouldn't have led me to this, so this is what my mum always says. She's like, if you hadn't gone through all of that, you wouldn't be where you are now, and you wouldn't be helping all these other girls. So I am thankful for that.
Exactly.
But yeah, definitely life-changing, for sure. And I think if you think it would have been life-changing, if I think it would have been life-changing, think about how many other young girls would actually really benefit from seeing something like this.
I completely agree, and that's exactly why I've got you on the podcast. And I think in particular, your story is, because you talk about it so openly, and I love the fact that it led you on this creative journey, as myself being from originally my creative background, I did a fine art degree, and through my own struggles with anxiety and depression and eating disorders led me to this point with the podcast and why I do everything I do. And I love seeing that in other people, like turning their pain and then learnings into something to help other people. And I love the way that you're doing it. And I find it really interesting the way that you're doing it. I love what you just said about your mum. That's a classic mum, very right, that always right with those things. My mum says the same when, if I ever say, talk about something, my experience at university or anything, she's always says the exact same, and they're very true.
Yeah.
How, it must have been tough for them, your parents, like having that conversation. Did it come as a shock, or did they know prior to you sitting them down and talking that you wanted the surgery? Did they know?
They had no idea. I hadn't told anyone. So from the age of 12 to 18, so that's 6 years, no one had I ever spoken to about it, apart from my cousin, who I eventually told as I turned 18 because I didn't want to go to consultations by myself. So she came with me to those. And then my mum and dad were the other people, next people that I told. And we're not a family who are, like, I don't think I've ever seen my mum wear makeup, they don't drink, like, I don't think anyone's ever had surgery, like, unless they have to in our lives. So, yeah, it was a huge shock for them. And my dad, bless him, booked me into hypnotherapy, which I was furious about when I was 18. I was like, you'd spend the money on hypnotherapy and you wouldn't give me the money for my surgery. I need the surgery. It's not like I don't need it. It didn't go down well with me. But looking back, I can see what he was trying to do. And he was just trying to be a supportive dad. And obviously that's must have been tough for and for him being trying to be a good father figure and this teenage daughter. Something that's so like, he doesn't know anything about what it's like to have a vulva and all of those insecurities and worries. And yeah, I think he was just trying his best. But yeah, it must have been tough for both of them. I just didn't see that at the time. I was just angry that they wouldn't help me.
I'm sure as a teenager, is what happens when you're a teenager, you don't realise that your parents often have your best interests.
I know, I look back and I'm like, I'm so grateful that they didn't just hand over the money. It would have been awful. And it would have just cut the journey so short rather than all this stuff that I'm going through now, which is so good.
And how else did it affect you at the time as a teenager, and then until you started to make those the sort of progress that you did, how did that sort of fear and insecurity affect your life?
Oh, it was huge. It affected who I dated, who I had sex with. I didn't have any relationships like up until I was 18. I just grew this hot thing of being like, I don't want anyone to find out this thing about me, and I don't want. I had such a low self-worth, and I was just like, no one's gonna love me if I look, because I look like this. And so I would sleep with people, but then I would just push them away and be like, as soon as they were interested, I was like, no, I don't. I didn't let anyone in, ever, when I was young. And until I had a boyfriend when I was 18, and he was 25, so he was quite a bit older. And when he saw me for the first time, completely naked, out the shower, so I had no makeup on. I always wore makeup as well, everywhere. Had no makeup on and I was butt naked. And he looked at me and I just burst into tears. And I looked back at my 18-year-old self and my body and everything and I was like, oh, it was so good. And I was just so at this low state of self-worth that, yeah, I just cried. And bless him, through that whole relationship, he was so good at really... He was the first person I ever let actually, like, touch my vulva, like, properly, with the lights off. I just put his hand down there and he just felt around. And I told him... So I got with him just after cancelling my surgery. So I told him all about that eventually. And yeah, he was the first person who I'd actually spoken about who was, like, a lover. And it opened my eyes a bit at the time that I can be loved with a vulva like mine, which I look back and I'm like, oh, my poor younger self, like, that's so sad that I had all those thoughts. But still, I think I was too young to really, or I wasn't at the right stage of my journey to absorb it as much as I could now.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of half thought, oh, he's just like being nice. But I can look back now and I can completely see that he was being genuine. But yeah, up until then, well, it's been a struggle since then too, but especially in my school years, yeah, it was had a huge effect on my whole mental state. Yeah.
And how has the fact that you're a very creative person and you studied art, how has that helped you? Obviously, it's led you to where you are now, but what else? I'm so fascinated with the connection of using creativity as an outlet, and how has it helped you?
I honestly don't think I would be at this like mental stage now had I not like used it as an outlet. So using creativity throughout all my life basically, but specifically after going through puberty and all my insecurities and everything, I've always studied the body, whether it's vulva related or cellulite or I don't know, anorexia, all types of stuff I've looked at. Genuinely, I think, I wouldn't be where I am now in my journey and my mental process without having done any of that. Because I think art has this like magical way of being where you can, it's like a therapy. Sort of therapy where you research things, you get it out on paper, you get it out on or whatever form it is, and then you discuss it without necessarily discussing your issue personally. You're discussing just the concepts and the ideas and the issues surrounding the like your art piece, which inadvertently is your issue, or it was for me anyway. And being able to do that, and fortunately I'd studied fine art as well, so I did that throughout my whole 3 years, and just being able to talk about it but without talking about it as though it was me, it was so good. And hearing other people's like ideas on your work, and it was more out in the open without it being out in the open for me. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it is a topic that, as a society, we kind of feel uncomfortable about. Therefore, we, as individuals, then... Well, I think it's changing, like you said before, feel uncomfortable. I think using... It sounds like you kind of indirectly used your kind of creative journey as an indirect way of kind of healing and as a almost... therapeutic practice.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you say that with the project as well, the Vulva Diversity Project, and with the cast that you're doing at the moment with women, would you say that, can you see that having the same effect with them and the conversations that you're having?
Completely. A lot of people that come in to get cast, they don't just come in the door, I cast them and they go and it's 5 minutes. It's like they'll come in, look at my other casts I've got in my studio, we'll have a big chat. I always ask, why have you decided to come and get cast today? Which tends to lean into then the conversation of whatever they've experienced. If people are a bit, like, not as forthcoming with being just open straight away, I usually then talk to them about my experience and why I've started doing what I'm doing. And naturally, throughout the course of the whole casting session, we talk about what it's like to be a woman, insecurities, anxieties, their issues, what boys might have said to them, all sorts of stuff. And then obviously they have the thing of lying there and exposing themselves and being vulnerable in that sense, and come away from it. I've had so many lovely messages from women afterwards just saying, like, wow, what an amazing experience. Like that was in itself. And I always get women to write a little bit of text about their relationship with their vulva. And sometimes some people do it before they come, some people do it after. And the people who do it before, more often than not, say, like, oh my God, what a great experience it's been already, like, even pre-getting cast, just to sit down and think about their relationship with their vulva and think, like, not, you don't often give yourself the chance to just sit there and think about your vulva and write, like, put it down into words. So I think the whole process for people, I haven't had anyone say anything negative about it. So yeah, I think it is like a form of therapy almost for people. Yeah,
I can really imagine that being the case. And from what I've seen with your work as well, obviously with it being, when you share it on the stories and the captions that people write on Instagram, where I've read it, it certainly sounds like such a transformative experience. And I think not only obviously that seeing the sort of comparison and that process of realizing that you're not different to other people, or that everyone is, and that everyone is different, and there is no normal in inverted commas. Let alone the fact of, as you said, exposing yourself to get cast to someone that maybe you've never done that before as a woman, you probably have to a medical professional.
Yeah.
What have been some of the most kind of powerful moments and interactions that you've had with women that you've cast?
Oh, I've had so many. I've had one girl who came, and instantly as she came in, she said, "Can we sit down?" Which normally I don't do. We kind of just stand and chat and stuff. She was like, "Please, can we sit down?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course." And I think we probably chatted for about an hour, which also is usually actually the whole amount of time that I allow for the whole casting session, but it was absolutely fine. And she just completely opened up to me about everything, and she said, "This is the first time ever in my life I've ever said these words out loud." And it was amazing. That was the first time for me that I was like, oh my God, like, I am like providing the space for people to seriously, like therapy, basically, like, seriously open up and say stuff that they've never been able to have the courage to talk to anyone about. And yeah, that was pretty, I felt really like special. I was like, oh, that's really nice that someone trusts me to be able to have that first conversation with. And I've also, one of the most powerful, not most powerful, but a powerful one that I've done. A lady came to me who's 69, one of my oldest ones. And we were chatting again. We had a long chat beforehand. And I have on the form, "Were you born a woman?" And anyway, throughout our chat, she hadn't mentioned anything. We just chatted. And then I just glanced at the form after she'd filled it in before casting her, and it had circled no. So when I was casting her, I was like, oh, I've noticed on the form you've circled no. Can you like talk about it and stuff? And yeah, she said she had a sex change when she was 61. So she had lived her entire life as a man, and she had been a husband and a father. And she got to the point of just, she couldn't do it anymore. And she got to the age of 61 when she had her sex change. And she said it's the best thing she's ever done in her life. And she is so happy. And it was just, every single story is so unique and so interesting and so unique to that person. And just every time I hear someone's story, I'm just like, wow, you've been through all of that. And sometimes it makes me think, God, I just didn't like my labia. That was it. Like, and then I hear everyone else's stories, and some of them I'm just like, you're incredible. And like, I'm also so proud of people for coming to me and making that step of like self-love and self-acceptance. And no one's told them to come to me. No one's pushed them to come to me. They've decided themselves this will be a really good thing for me to do. And I get, I mean, I don't really know them, but I'm like, I'm so proud of you for coming, because that's such a huge step to, yeah, accepting who you are at this present time. And no matter what you've been through, yeah, I think it's good.
It sounds like such a powerful experience, and you're really, with the work, it's like it's facilitating that self-celebration, it sounds like, for women and collectively. And it just shows the power in storytelling and how important it is to open up the conversations, which is exactly what you're doing through your work. It's the project is the vehicle of allowing the space for these really important and powerful conversations.
Yeah, completely.
What would you, with anyone who's listening, as I'm sure most women, or if not all women who are listening, are going to relate to having some form of insecurity about maybe just when they were at puberty, or maybe they're still going through puberty, or maybe still now they're holding insecurities about their body in some way, in particular maybe their vulva, what would be your advice for them?
I think such an important thing is talking about any issues or any anxieties. What I have learned completely, especially through this project, is if you have an insecurity or an anxiety, like, of course someone else is going to as well. You're not, like, there are billions of people in this world. You could not be the only person with that thought. And you're not going to be alone. And I just wish that I had spoken about my insecurities when I was young, because now, having spoken to all these other girls, they've all had the same insecurities all around the same age. And I just am like, why didn't we communicate this? Why didn't we talk about this? And I mean, not everyone's insecurities at all are going to be about their vulvas, but even if it's about how wiry your pubes are or the colour of your bum hole, like anything, like, just talk about it, because 100% you'll find someone else who has the exact same thought. And also, I find it amazing that I've spoken to, well, one friend in particular, I spoke to her about my issue, about my vulva, and I've shown her my cast, and she was like, oh my god, that looks really similar to mine. And I was like, how do you feel about yours? She was like, I love it, always have, like, it's, I love it. And that was, it really hit, this was quite a while ago now, and this really hit home that I was like, wow, you can love your body, like, as it is. And it's not like, because I have a vulva like this, or because you have wiry pubes or whatever, that you're going to find other people that go, oh yeah, how annoying is it that you've got wiry pubes? Like, it really taught me that you can, other people have got that too, and they love it. And that's amazing. So yeah, just talking to even like close friends or social media in this day and age, you can find all sorts on there. I found the Vulva Gallery on Instagram, which is where I first kind of saw so many girls talking about their issues related to their vulva. And I was like, oh my god, tons of people have the same issue as me. So yeah, whatever it is, like hair on your feet, like, I'm sure there's a social media thing about it, and or just forums or anything online. It doesn't have to be, you don't even have to speak about it out loud. Research it, comment, message people if you're too shy to just like even discuss it with a close friend. But if you can get to the point of speaking, it's such a healer. It's unbelievable. This is what I'm learning.
Yeah, it really, really is. So, yeah, we do need to talk about things like our bum holes and vaginas and hair. So, people, you've heard it here. And absolutely to follow Lydia's account as well, you can share that with us shortly. But I want to move on to the questions that I like to ask every guest that we have on the podcast. And that is, can you tell us about a time when things perhaps didn't go to plan, whether you sort of call them failures still, or maybe you felt like it was a failure at the time, but the lessons that you learned from that time?
Yeah. So the thing I was thinking of was at uni. and I was studying fine art. And I briefly mentioned earlier, I did a project on vulvas. That was in my first year of uni, and I was at the stage of like, what am I doing? Why am I doing fine art? This is like, you know, if any other fine artist, it's a classic thing, probably in the first or second year. But what am I doing in my life? And anyway, I did this project about halfway through the year, and I got my friend to help me make a website where I got women to upload photographs of their vulvas to my website. Then I would take that picture, paint it onto a little canvas, and then I would upload the photo of my painting back to the website. So it was like turning it into a nice piece of artwork, and then I put them all together. And for me, this was actually the first ever vulva related project I had done, and it was a huge, like, it meant so much to me, although I hadn't told anyone that. They just thought I was a weirdo, which is fine. And I got a phone call quite near to the end of my project. So I had all this, I'd done the website. I then printed flyers out and stuck them all around the uni because I wanted more people to post pictures. And one of my lecturers had obviously seen these posters in like the girls' toilets and stuff. And she rang me up and she was just like, what are you doing? She was like, you can't do this. This will have such a negative impact on the uni. It's just not something you can do. Like, you've got to take down your website instantly. Like, you can't do it, basically. And for like a couple of days, I was just like, fuck, this is, I don't know. It was a huge thing that I was just like, but this is so important to me. Like, and you're just taking all of this away. And after a couple of days, when I had actually calmed down, I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. You are the reason why I'm doing projects like this, or this project, because it's like, oh, it's embarrassing, or you don't want to be seen to be facilitating this kind of project or whatever. And I thought, no, I'm just going to keep going and pray that I don't have you in my final one-to-one. I think it was only like another few weeks or a month or something until the end of the project anyway. So I just avoided her at university and thankfully didn't have her in my final assessment and just carried on anyway. And I just, from there, I was like, yeah, don't let anyone. It's only one person at the end of the day. And if they're like, oh my God, no, you can't do that. Like, even though she was my lecturer, which I'm meant to listen to, but still, like, if you have something that's like that important to you, just freaking do it. Like, don't listen to anyone else that's being like, oh no, why are you doing that? It's, it was a big shock, and then it turned into something which actually was quite a positive of finishing the project, actually getting quite a good grade as well, and just putting my middle finger up, being like, yeah, you got, like, no.
Good for you. Well, I think that's, you realised exactly that was everything that you were doing the project for, to go against that stigma that was around it. So yeah, good for you for carrying on doing that and then getting a good grade, like you said, middle finger.
Yeah, exactly.
If you could go back to, wave a magic wand and go back to your teenage self, what would be your bit of advice that you would say?
It was around this time, 10 years ago, that I was like booking my consultations and everything. So this was like probably the most like poignant time in my life for me, 10 years ago, surrounding my vulva. And I would just, for me, I would want to just go back and tell myself, porn isn't real, it's not real life. The actors, the sex isn't real, the bodies mostly aren't real. And it's not an educational tool. And to also just stop giving a shit what people might think of you awe of your body. Most often than not, they won't even be thinking that anyway. But just to stop thinking that they might be thinking something bad, and that you don't need fixing in any way, and that you're literally completely fine exactly the way you are, and that you don't need, yeah, you don't need to be fixed. Just be confident with who you are. I wish I'd had that, yeah. I wish I'd had that little mentor voice in my head. That's for sure.
Where can people find you and connect with you, and most importantly, see your project in all its glory?
Yeah, so at the moment, my main platform is Instagram, which is LydiaReeves_artist. I have a website in the making, which is lydiareeves.com. And then I have an Etsy as well, which is herdesignsshop.etsy.com.
Do head and follow Lydia. Be aware of the project. It's so inspiring and enlightening. And maybe book yourself in for a cast. Are you still looking for people to be cast?
I'm casting people up until end of February.
Okay.
So yeah, that's going to be my cutoff point. I have to have a cutoff point at some point. It was going to be Christmas, and now I'm like, oh, end of Feb is going to be my cutoff. I think I then will carry on taking volunteers, but it won't be for this project. I'm just going to keep doing them and hoping that like another idea is going to come up, which it will. Or I'll expand it later on down the line. But for this project, up until Feb. So yes, I am still looking for volunteers.
Brilliant. So go and check it out, everyone. Thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest.
Yay, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave a rating and review, share it with friends, family, and colleagues, and make sure you're subscribed if you aren't already. Until next time, stay curious.